Mr. Squires, I understand that in contested cases, water right proceedings such as we're in now, the burden of proof is on the applicant. In your opinion, and based upon your experience, do you believe the applicant has met an adequate burden of proof?
I guess I'll object to the frame of the question, ask Brian a legal conclusion, but...
Note it on the record, go ahead.
I don't, no.
And why not?
Well, I agree with Mr. Kimball's testimony that I think what's needed is a multiple well pumping test. Some physical measurements.
The proof that you've been talking about as opposed
yes.
to the speculation.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Mr. Kimball, Mr. Squires, yesterday Mr. Kimball testified in his analysis, suggested a lower hydraulic conductivity value than that was used by the Brockway and Cosgrove modeling. What is your opinion of Mr. Kimball's analysis?
Well, I thought it was quite good. I think he played around as Rockaway Engineering did with some figures that we have to work with. My own personal belief is that while Mr. Kimball is perhaps closer to a true storativity value, I still think that it's high for this aquifer. I mean, you're talking about 0.12, 0.15. That's like, as Dr. Brockway said, that's 15% of the aquifer space being pore space. I just, to me, that's a very productive, permeable sand aquifer that's unconfined. This aquifer is characterized as unconfined, and it would have, higher conductivity values. But and I haven't done any in-depth analyses, but just the basic information I see from the pump test would give me the feeling that transmissivity and storativity are both quite low.
And then I think you may have touched on it, but Mr. Kimball's analysis of when compared again to Brockway and the Cosgrove conductivity values, you think they are, if Mr. Kimball's was high, I'll just leave it there. Well, how do you compare Mr. Kimball's analysis with the Brockway and the Cosgrove analysis?
I think they were the lowest of the three. But I think the Cosgrove model had higher conductivities based on the regional model that they constructed, the gross average. And then I think, rightfully so, Mr. Sullivan was looking at other available information from well logs and drawdown tests and did a comparative analysis of, on a smaller scale with the data that he had, and I think that was correct. And I think what Mr. Kimball did is he just, within an analytical model, which I think is a fine way to do it, he just increased the ranges a little bit more in his characterization, and he went with on one end of the range a lower storativity that produced more drawdown for the reasons that we talked about.
Right. Okay, thank you. I think we've already touched on why the aquifer is less permeable and less productive with depth. Do you have anything to add to that that we've already discussed about, Mr. Squire?
I would say that there's quite a number of reasons why permeability might decrease with depth. In basaltic aquifers, there's a lot of calcium around. And so the longer the rocks have been in contact with water, the more water that moves through the apertures, the more precipitation of calcium carbonate you can have. And a lot of times geologists refer to those basalts as being healed because the pore spaces are filled with white calcium carbonate deposits. And of course, just the fact that they're buried. Okay, I mean, you've got a lot of pressure of the rocks and the water on top of it, and that compresses the fractures together, and so it's not as permeable. And that's in, I think Mr. Bonnickson may have addressed the physical characteristics of the flows themselves and why younger flows may have been more permeable or whatever. Okay.
And speaking of Mr. Bonnickson, today we heard from him and the questioning of him this morning, and you read his expert testimony, is that right?
Yes, I did.
And what is your understanding from his testimony then?
I think what I got out of his testimony this morning and in his expert report is the aquifer is quite variable spatially. I think that's the main takeaway with respect to the aquifer.
Okay. Mr. Squires, do you think the Salmon Falls Track aquifer that we're all talking about here should be incorporated into a groundwater management area by IDWR?
I think that will probably happen one day.
not right away, huh?
Well, I think that it's a limited aquifer. I think everybody knows that. I think they've known that from back in the 60s. Well yields are quite spotty. And whether or not it's declared a groundwater management area, I would recommend that the community as a whole begin to monitor. And I think that's what's going to happen. If anything were to become a management area, there would be more onus on new uses and changed uses to actually take some measurements. It provides a mechanism for that. And I think that's what's lacking here. I think that, I would be very surprised if any of the protestants have measured their wells over the years. Maybe a few spot measurements that, like Mr. Travis Thompson talked about, where you have something done by a pump contractor and maybe they get a water level and maybe it's accurate and maybe it's not. But in general, I'm trying to think of who said that. I think it was Mr. Kimball, and I think it was very astute that you can see these things coming. You can see these crises coming. If you have good monitoring, you can plan for those problems. I don't think that the level of monitoring is adequate to do that.
Okay. Mr. Squires, do you have an opinion on the transfer number 79466? That's the new hole in the ground in the Four Sisters area. No new water unless new water is added to the dairy of these other transfers. Do you have an opinion on that as adding a point of diversion for the discussion we're involved in?
Well, I think that adding a point of diversion, even though there's no water used, no additional water used, if there's no additional water used, it goes to the point of you're still changing the gradients from one area to another area. What was that? Well, number 11. Exhibit number 11, this is, I bet this is in that water right you're talking about now, but I was looking at the graph under the 384 transfer. We were talking about that mound earlier.
Yes.
Well, if you look, there's a mound there, but just to the north of it, and I think that would be under the west dairy. And I think you can see maybe the wells of the west area there. Well, there's a mound here underneath the new irrigation well, but there's a bit of a trough underneath the west area. And maybe that's from pumping. I mean, that's the kind of gradient that I'm talking about. So to the extent that placing, it's not like the basin is a bathtub, and you have to put a straw here and a straw here, and, you know, and it doesn't matter where you put the straw. If you, because the rocks and the aquifers vary spatially, it matters where you put the well. You may have different characteristics, different drawdown characteristics in one place versus in the other. So I think it's important to recognize that changes in points of diversion can also change the gradients. And,
and Mr. Squires, the testimony that you've just given, we primarily concentrated on 79384, which is a new irrigation well. Would your testimony apply to the other two transfer requests, and the one you just talked about was 466, the other two that also involve new water at the two dairies? Would your testimony apply to essentially all four transfers?
I would say yes in terms of the larger, longer term effects of new pumping. I would say that my most of what I did for the protestants was look at well to well interference effects.
That concludes my official questioning. Do you have anything to add that would kind of, on your own volition, that we don't think we've covered that would be important for the hearing?
No, sir.
Mr. Steffel, that concludes my question.
Okay. Mr. Squires, just to clarify it then, and I've asked this of the other experts, were you retained then to evaluate impacts from transfer number 79466, which is the Four Sisters Dairy transfer?
I was retained to look at all four transfers, yes.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the other protestants then? Mr. Parrott, you have one, go ahead.
Mr. Bonnick, I alluded to, he does the research, and then we rest less than paid to have somebody else tell us what it was. The yield, you estimated 50%, but whatever, you know how the world works in the Boise Valley particularly. So the yield of 50%, not carried, 0.48, can you tell us how big a pipe that fills?
0.49 CFS?
Yeah.
Well, it's about 220 gallons a minute.
And what's the pipe size?
Well, it depends on the velocity of the pipe.
Okay.
But I think you would have no problem, you know, moving that 220 gallons a minute through a pretty small pipe.
A 6-inch pipe?
Oh, well, more than adequate.
More than adequate?
A 6-inch pipe would be far more than adequate.
Would it seem, probably, would it seem full to the casual observer?
220 gallons a minute in a 6-inch pipe? Probably not.
Okay. And then half that much, perhaps a 4-inch pipe would have a similar...
No problem.
Okay. That's to help us who don't calibrate gallons. Well, I'm performing for the crowd here, but the hearing officer may not have thought of it that way either. So the way the world works is that there's a yield, no matter what it is, and this is approved, they'll get to use it.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, if you say that about half that yield, 110 gallons a minute, that's not a large amount of water by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to obviously consider the transfer on its face value, which is 220 gallons a minute,
mm-hmm.
because the well could be deepened, it could be replaced, could be made larger. I mean, I think you have to assume, and I'm sure the applicant would like to get the amount. He knows how much water he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he applied for it. So he'll want to get that amount, I would suggest.
Well, there's a permit, and then there's you got to like prove up on it. But maybe not with the transfer.
Not in a transfer, sir.
I think you're so they could move down is this a scenario drill another hole 200 feet away? And
if they, my understanding would be that if they drilled a well within the same one-quarter section,
really,
and they abandoned the existing well, then they could do it as a replacement well. But if they wanted to add a second well and keep the new irrigation well, that would require another transfer or a new application.
Said another way, I sort of lost it. You get to have one hole in the same quarter that started out.
Typically, points of diversion wells are ascribed to a quarter. And so the new irrigation well is the point of diversion that's in this one quarter as part of this transfer. If the applicant wanted to add another well in that quarter, he would have a couple of options. One would be to file a new application for a new water use and a new point of diversion. That's a new application for permit that you were referring to, where you have a prove-up period. You say, I want this much water. After 5 years or sometimes longer, the department comes back and says, well, how much did you use? If you used it all, you get a permit for that. Another way that you could get another well on the site would be to do a transfer of an existing license and move a point of diversion or add a point of diversion in that location. That's not what happened in this transfer. And the third way would be, and probably the most likely scenario here, I would guess, is a replacement well, or a modification of the existing well, whereby you would, if you modified the existing well, let's say you were able to pull out the surface casing and ream it to a larger diameter. Well, then you'd still just have one well. If you wanted to add another well in that quarter section, then as a replacement well, you could drill a new well, larger diameter, perhaps probably more productive. But you'd have to abandon the new irrigation well or relegate it to another purpose like monitoring. But you would no longer be able to use that as a point of diversion for the under its original point of diversion.
Okay, thank you. And you engineer wells as part of your job, is that right?
I do.
Does that mean, maybe we don't need to know that, but three-phase power is important.
Depends on a lot of things, the lift, how much water you want, et cetera, et cetera.
And have you visited the well site, though?
Yes. I visited the what's called the new irrigation well site.
Yeah, on 3300.
Correct.
And did you see three-phase power there?
You know, I'm not sure I noticed, but I saw some pretty good-sized line shaft turbine pumps there.
You might assume, but, you know, okay. So if a person were to replace that well, would it be accurate that try to stay by 3 days power?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think, you know, power can be changed and brought in.
I didn't like that answer. That's the trouble. Okay.
I think it's a lot easier. I think the power grid is a lot more uniform than the aquifer system.
Oh, yeah. But you have to pay for both. I conclude that. What
Okay. Questions from any of the other protestants? Mr. Coleman, did you have some?
I have a few.
Go ahead.
Mr. Squires, have you done work on transfers like this before the IWR?
Yes.
As a hydrologist?
As a hydrogeologist.
Meaning worked as an expert witness, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Is it your understanding that with transfers like this, the priority date of the water right transfers to the new point of diversion?
Would you repeat that, please?
Is it your understanding that on transfers like this, the priority date transfers to the new point of diversion?
Yes.
you talked about the well test. Sorry.
You're okay.
You talked about the well test that was performed by Brockway Engineering. Exhibit number 8 in their exhibits.
Yes, sir.
Did you, we heard yesterday testimony from Mr. Brockway that the purpose of that test was not to determine whether there would be injury, but that to determine productivity. But when you review that pump test as a hydrologist, would it concern you to see the water, static water level drop in the amounts that it did?
Does it concern you?
Well, I should maybe rephrase the question. Is that a reason for to wonder if it might cause injury to neighboring wells?
Well, one thing about this aquifer that is apparent, because there's hardly any casing in the wells here, I mean, basically the aquifer system is of such low yield that, and because it's basalt, it'll stay open, so it doesn't cost, you don't have to put casing to keep the well open.
Okay.
So the entire aquifer, the entire drilled section is open to allow water to come in. So it's a very low specific capacity, meaning a lot of drawdown per water extraction. I mean, I understand that it's a pretty small diameter well. I think it's 8 inch. But that's still pretty low specific capacity, very low.
Although this test was not performed to determine whether it would cause injury or not, does it indicate that it may cause injury to other wells?
That's quite a bit of drawdown. So at the point of the well, which there's not much well loss because there's no screen, no filter pack, and you've got the whole well open to the section, then the drawdown is the base of the cone of depression. So right at the well, it's drawing down, we'll say, 150 to 180 feet under 140 gallons a minute. So that's pretty deep cone of depression.
Thank you.
But that's why the storativity is, everybody's talking about the storativity, because it's the volume of the cone of depression, and the transmissivity controls the shape of the cone of depression. If you have a high transmissivity, then you would expect the cone of depression to extend very far laterally, but not be very deep. This has got a fairly deep drawdown. And so.
Okay, thank you. Yesterday, we heard testimony from, I believe it was Mr. Brockway, talking about the Leno well near the Nevada border from which this water is being transferred. And if I remember right, I thought he said that he was certain that the water would hydrologically, the dried up groundwater at the Leno well would hydrologically at some point reach the Berger area. Do you remember that testimony at all?
I've heard that, yes. It's been a controversy in this case.
Do you agree with that in that testimony?
I really have no experience at all to be able to comment on this.
Okay. As I've listened to your testimony today, it seems to me that the testimony is that the problem with this transfer is there's not enough information to make an adequate decision as to whether there will be injury or not. Is that correct?
That, in my opinion, that's true. I guess one of the reasons that I say that is, you know, you don't get a lot of chances to determine it. I mean, you can't control how the water's used. Maybe it's used a little bit at first and more later. But by doing a controlled test in an area before the well is pumping, you, in measuring outlying wells, you get a chance to see what the impacts are from the full use, because you have to assume that at some point down the road, there's going to be full use. And if, as I say, that it may take months to years for the full impacts to be realized, well, after that much time passes, it's very, very difficult to go back after the fact and determine that or ascribe injury, because a lot of other things may be happening. Maybe other wells are being drilled, maybe less flood irrigation is happening for whatever reason. So I think it's important when you can to get direct measurements that then you can rely upon.
Thank you.
Okay. Any of the other protestants have questions for Mr. Squires? I don't see any.
Can I go once more?
You can, Mr. Parrott.
You were on site, which is different than a lot of people in this room. Did you know about Cedar Draw? Do you know what that is? From the well to the east, about half a mile.
Oh, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
And it actually, the area is named after Cedar Ridge. Okay. So does that have any, and we have several protestants to the east of that. In your mind, does that matter? What's that event? Does that have a, is that a shift? Okay, the answer to this question is the protestants to the east have a different case or worry?
Well, I think, again, it goes to the variability of the aquifer,
mm-hmm.
because in my experience, and I think basalt aquifers or volcanic aquifers are probably some of the most variable, some of the most unpredictable. That's why there's really not a model that's built to simulate basalt aquifers. But even in sedimentary aquifers that are more homogeneous and isotropic than basalt aquifers, there's often a fabric, a depositional fabric within the aquifer. And so a joint pattern or a fracture pattern or a cooling pattern or these interflow zones that flow down a drainage. And so it's conceivable in my mind that you could have a pronounced drawdown effect in one direction, even a mile away, and have another well that is nearby in another direction that experiences very little drawdown. And I've personally seen that in my career. It's a humbling profession, as I said before. So I don't know if that answered your question. I think it's more of an attribute of the spatial variability in the aquifer more than Cedar Draw. And I don't know what the hydraulic connection is personally. You know, we talked about the potential for that mound to be caused by the ponding of water there, and that's certainly a reasonable assumption. I think Mr. Sullivan testified that there's still water in the pond now, you know, after all winter, and I observed that there is still water in the pond. But it's not always black and white. These ponds that don't get flushed by an annual runoff, they often develop a mud grate in the bottom, just from muddy water. And so that can hold water over the winter. But when you add 10 to 15 feet ahead on that, and you don't have a mud drape around the edges of the pond, you may have significantly more leakage under that circumstance than you do when you've just got a small amount of water in the bottom of the pond.
Is it proper to kiss the witness?
It is not. Mr. Thompson. Ms. Miller. Go ahead.
I don't understand water nor will I pretend to, so my question to you is simple. In your expert opinion, have the applicants met the burden of proof for certain Idaho code?
That question was asked earlier. You may. By Mr. Coleman.
This would not adversely affect the applicant's wells. In your professional opinion, has that burden been met?
You can answer that again.
In my opinion, no.
Thank you, guys. Okay. And I'm sorry, I had to work this morning, so I wasn't
That's it. Well, it was. You may have just not been listening to that part. Mr. Thompson, do you want to take a 5-minute break and start in on cross-examination? Do you want to go right into it right now?
Yeah, I could take a, I guess we can talk schedule, 5-minute break. I won't have very long with Mr. Squires,
okay.
So we want to do that.
Let's go off the record for right now.
Just long enough for a kiss, right?
No.